Welcome to the Uber Funky Bugcast 11.
Good evening. It is Friday the 16th of May. It's about 11:15 at night, and you're listening to the Bugcast episode 11. Thanks very much for joining me this evening. Okay, it's got a lot to talk about today. And I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. Thank you to Mark for introducing the show this evening. Quick reminder that I still need introductions from episode 13 onwards. So if you do have an introduction you want to do, then drop me an email with the details, and I'll give you those details of where to send your files through to at the end of the show. Excuse me. This cough that's been plaguing me for the last 4 weeks, haven't got a shot of yet. Although it only seems to come about when I'm about to do these shows. So, this week, not a lot really happening, really. Yeah, we went to see some friends at the weekend. I've been working virtually the whole week, except for the Monday when the exhaust fell off my car on the M18 on the way home from work. So I worked home on Tuesday, and then took the car into the garage to get the exhaust welded back together again. That was fun. When it broke down, though, the weather was really nice, so it wasn't too bad. Worked a bit late yesterday. Not really exciting much has happened this week. We are going into the bank tomorrow to go and speak to our mortgage advisor. we've been living at our current house for almost 2 years, and it's getting close to the time where we need to think about whether we're going to change our mortgage offer or not. And as we both bank with the Royal Bank of Scotland, they've been in contact with us and saying, hey, we know you've moved, you know, within the last 2 years, and you've got a mortgage review coming up. Do you want to come and see what we can offer? So that'll be interesting to see what kind of deals they offer, especially in the current climate where a lot of banks are now turning away new customers or new mortgage customers to be told to actually come and see what they've got. We shall see. Right, the first thing I want to talk about this evening is something I used to rant about a lot on my own journal, but I toned it down a bit when I think somebody said to me, you know, you do post about this a lot, so I stopped. And it's to do with traffic. Now, before I start on this, I will say, and I do admit, that I'm not a perfect driver. I do have a tendency to speed sometimes, and I do display a marginal intolerance to other people's driving styles. But I would say, and hopefully other people would agree with this, I'm not dangerous in the way that I drive. And that's really what this subject is going to be about. And I've got five specific examples I want to mention. And the first one is lorries that attempt to overtake on a two-lane motorway. Now, I'm talking about lorries here that are speed limited to 56 miles an hour, which a lot of the large good vehicles, heavy good vehicles, are. Now, according to the Highway Code Rule Number 265, see, I've done my research this time, a vehicle over a certain size and with speed limitations is prohibited to travel in the third lane of the motorway, or third or more lane of a motorway. But this doesn't apply to two-lane motorways. Like, for example, the M42 in Staffordshire. They've just put in a trial, I think within the last 2 or 3 years, to limit the usage of lane 2 to vehicles over a certain weight. I can't remember what it is. It might be 7 tonnes, 15 tonnes, or it might be a width. to prevent this kind of thing happening, where you've got two lorries, one travelling behind another, both doing 56 miles an hour, and then the one at the back decides to overtake the one that's in front of it. Now, the 56 mile an hour limit is actually fixed to the vehicle, so the vehicle isn't actually capable of going above this 56 miles an hour. Now, you've got tolerance in different vehicles. Some do 55.5, some do 56.5. So what you've got in the majority of cases is the vehicle you're overtaking doing approximately 56 miles an hour. You've got the vehicle that's doing the overtaking doing about 0.01 miles an hour faster. And you'll often find out that the lorry will attempt to start the overtake just at the point of a row of traffic coming up on the outside lane, pulls out in front of them, everyone's then backed up behind them. And that really does bug me, and it bugs a lot of other people as well, because you can see the way they react to being slowed down by this lorry that's decided to do an overtake at that particular time. Excuse me. The second thing I want to mention is with lorries again, and it's lorries that pull out with no warning. They do indicate, but they indicate at the exact time they decide to pull out. Now, I've been caught twice in this manner in the last couple of weeks. In fact, I think it was in the same journey on the same day, where I'm coming up in lane two. It's a relative amount of traffic on the road. You're not doing more than about 50 miles an hour, I'd say, and the traffic is quite close together. And you've got a lorry in lane one. I'm in lane two, approaching its rear, but in lane two. And then all of a sudden, it just indicates and comes out. No actual warning at all. Now, had I not have stopped or slowed down quite violently, in the two cases that I experienced in this one journey, I would have been crashed into twice. bullying tactics? I don't know. What do you think? The third one is, and this happened to me yesterday, when I was in lane two, and there was a gap in lane three. A car had just gone ahead of me in lane three. So I indicated to move out. When I indicate to move out, if I can, I'll leave it 2 or 3 seconds before I actually make the manoeuvre. I'll go on to the highway code rule about that in a minute. And as I was then about to pull out, the guy behind me in lane two decided to overtake me, which was immensely dangerous because I'd already done my mirrors. I'd already checked the my mirror. I'd already checked my blind spot and was about to make the manoeuvre, and he then decided to overtake me, which... Well, I said a few choice words, put it that way. This goes nicely on to my fourth item, which is cars that signal ineffectively. Highway Code 267, Rule 267, states that you must signal in plenty of time before moving out. Now, plenty of time, in the case of manoeuvring between lanes, I would say as at least 2 seconds, at minimum. So that the person the people that are approaching behind you know that you're about to make a manoeuvre. It's an indicator. You know, the things on the side of your cars are indicators. You're giving an indication of what you're about to do. Now, in some cases, people don't indicate at all. They just slide across. And you can spot the ones that do it all the time because they're the ones that just surf between lanes. I don't even go in a straight line. They just surf between lanes. The second case of that one is the people that indicate after they've actually started their manoeuvre. In some cases, they don't start indicating until they're already in the lane they're moving into. And the third example of that one is where they flish their indicator. That's it. It's on for no more than about a tenth of a second. So all you see is this flicker. If you blink, you miss the indication completely, and this car comes in front of you out of nowhere. And then also, Highway Code Rule 267 also stipulates that you need to ensure that the lane you're joining has sufficient clearance in front and behind before making your move. Now, I do a lot of motorway mileage. I do about 400 miles a week motorway driving, and you see it all the time. A lot of it is to do with the fact that people do drive too close to the car in front, and I'll hold my hand up on that one. I do have a tendency to drive a little bit too close, not right up someone's backside, but my stopping distances are lower than they should be, and you'll have someone undertake you on the inside and then just slot in front of you. There probably isn't safely enough room in there for a car to go in there. So then all the cars behind have to brake and slow down and all the rest of it. And, you know, when you're doing up to 400 miles a week on a motorway, you pretty much see it all. Like I said at the beginning, I'm not a perfect driver, but I know I'm not dangerous. At least I hope I'm not dangerous. There's probably somebody talking in a similar way that I am at the moment to you guys, slagging me off. I'd like to think that wasn't the case, because I don't think my driving is that bad, but you never know. And the fifth item I want to mention in this section is the one that is my absolute pet peeve, and it bugs the hell out of me because it's unnecessary. And that's the person, or the drivers, that use a mobile phone, handheld mobile phone, whilst driving. But the thing that gets me about it is sometimes you can't see them because it's stealth, if you like. You know, they've tucked the phone under their under the collar of the shirt so it's not too obvious, or the phone's in your, in the top pocket, and you know they're talking on it, but you don't know the method in which they're doing it. The ones I'm talking about are the ones that blatantly hold the phone up to their ear. They're not even trying to cover the phone with their hand. And I just don't understand why people are still doing this. They know it's against the law. They know that they'll get points and a fine for doing it. There's been so many of these road wars, police camera action shows on to see that the police do take a very, very dim view with the use of handheld mobile phones while driving. And yet, car kits are so, so readily available, and they're so cheap as well. And in fact, the majority of phones that you buy nowadays actually have a... sorry, I say car kit, I meant hands-free kit. A lot of phones you buy nowadays do actually have hands-free kits with them. Okay, yeah, they're wired ones. They're not very elegant. They do, excuse me, get in the way a bit. But the Bluetooth headset I bought for my phone, I think cost me £20. That's £20 versus, is it 60 quid for a for that offence now? And 3 points on your licence. It really does not make sense. It really doesn't. But people don't seem to care. The way they're actually using their phones is so blatant. They're either not aware, they're either ignorant of the fact that it's illegal. Because I seem to have picked up on the fact that I seem to have perceived that people are now using their phones more since the legislation came out saying that it was illegal to use a mobile phone while driving than it did beforehand. Now maybe that's because I'm more aware of it, and because it is one of my pet peeves, I focus in on it more. I don't know, but anyway, that's my list of rants with regard to road traffic. Kind of hoping that this will prompt a few of you to drop me an email or a voice message to say, you know, I agree with you, or no, you're talking out your backside, or whatever. But yeah. Okay, we're going to have a song now. This is Curb Finder with Fire.
Straight bangs. Maybe
wasn't ready for that. I heard this song a couple of times, and I knew it ended quite suddenly, but I wasn't ready. Sorry about that. I did it again, didn't I? I forgot to announce the first song this evening. The first song in the show was Paul Haig with Reason. I'm saying I did it again because I did it last week as well, and it wasn't until after I'd uploaded it and then listened to the show again the following day, because I always go through the show the day after, you know, when I'm on my way to work or when I'm at work, just to see how it sounds. And I kind of remember then that I forgot to announce what the song was. You think I would learn by now, wouldn't you? Oh, hello, wife. You're not going to say anything?
Hello.
Hello. Okie dokie. Right. Yeah. Okay. I won't tell you what she just did, but I think it's... Was it episode 4 she did something like that? And, yeah, if there was a webcam around, she'd be quite embarrassed. Okay, right, yeah. This next thing I want to talk about is a bit geeky, I'm afraid, so this is a geek warning. I stopped using Windows just under 2 years ago on my laptop. Oops, sorry. But my mobile phone runs Windows Mobile. Now... Bloody miss has just come along and turned the light off on me. Go to bed, go on. Right, good night. Mwah. Right. Yeah, and my mobile phone is a Windows Mobile phone. And you're disgusting. Windows Mobile phones work very well with Windows. They use a bit of software called ActiveSync, which is provided by Microsoft, to synchronise your calendar and contacts on the phone with Outlook on your PC. Brilliant. Because I don't use Windows, I'm kind of limited, because you don't have Outlook, you don't have ActiveSync. And what was available to me up until recently to sync my phone with my Linux laptop was a piece of software called FinchSync, which there was a version of the software on the phone, a version of the software on the PC, and it would copy contact and calendar details between the database on my phone and a calendar program that I could use using Mozilla Sunbird. Now, that was great for a while, except you had to synchronize it manually, which was a pain in the backside. I could only synchronize it when I was at home. Because my laptop is not acceptable to the outside world on our network, I can't do it over the air when I'm out and about. So it worked, but it was a pain in the backside. Until early this week, when I found a piece of software called OgSync, and I've put a link to the show notes because this is the software I'm using now. And what this allows me to do is synchronize the calendar, not contacts at the moment, calendar with Google Calendar, because I've kind of fallen in love with all things Google at the moment, as some of you all already know. And what this does is it's a bit of software that runs on my phone that communicates with Google Calendar over the internet on my phone, and makes sure that, I think, every 4 hours the Google Calendar and my phone calendar are in sync, which is fantastic. It's exactly what I wanted to do. And then I then use the Google Calendar website on my laptop using Mozilla Prism, which again I've put a link to in the show notes so you can have a look to see what that is, to view the website as if it was a separate application. So I'm well happy, because now wherever I go, and as long as I've got access to the internet, I've got my up-to-date calendar. What I've also done is separated out my my personal calendar entries, so the stuff that I'm doing specifically, and birthdays and anniversaries. We are absolutely terrible, and some of you listening to this will know this, we are abysmal at remembering anniversaries and birthdays, and we still forget people, even though we've got this information in front of us. But because Google Calendar is now controlling, if you like, my personal calendar and also our birthdays and anniversaries calendar, I've given that access to Caroline. and we've both set notifications on it that'll email us 7, 2, and 1 days before the event occurs to remind us to go out and buy a bloody card. So hopefully all is good, and hopefully all is good. Okie dokie, let's have some of this.
Traces of nuts, sketches, gags, pointless hand gestures.
It's got words in it, and that.
Now then, we know how to use spreadsheets, we've all had training in spreadsheets, all we need to do is open up the spreadsheets and put in all the fingers. Question?
No, it isn't true. I mean, all I need to do is...
Fetch! Yes, wrong!
Brace yourself, Daisy!
Ow!
Can I have some of your pizza? There's a bit of your pizza.
Have you sat on a gherkin that wasn't
well,
your
Well, I
fault?
Have to say my suspicions were first aroused by the big-boned Diplodocus.
You don't have to do the willy thing anymore.
Morphe, Richard!
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
We need contractions of the sphincter.
No, it isn't.
Ooh, I'll stick a fork in it.
No, it isn't.
Hey, you're a freak, leave me alone.
Traces of nuts. It cannot, like, you know, mess down your straight.
So, how are you going to finish the sketch, mate?
No idea.
That's a fiver.
Ha, right. Apologies for those of you who were offended by the slightly adult nature of that. I always profess this is a family show. But, that was a promotion for the Traces of Nuts podcast, which is... it's a comedy, but probably only to those who are into that kind of taste. Very surreal style of comedy. I've put the link to the podcast in the show notes. but try it once at least. You might like it, you might not. If you don't, fair enough, don't listen to it again. Okay. Feedback. We have had one email, and I'm not even going to offend you by suggesting who this might be from. Hey-ho, me again. Chickenpox, now that takes me back. I gave it to my brother in exchange for him giving me mumps the year before. Sweet revenge. Hope Amy hasn't been too scratchy in this heat, as scratched chickenpox spots sometimes leave scars. And to prove it, I have a couple, including one by my right eyebrow, or possibly my left eyebrow, I forget which. And hope Cara's problem has been alleviated by now. Figs is what we swear by in this house. Just to interject there, that's the issue with Cara's constipation. The email continues, love 2/3 of the music on the show this week. The first 2 tracks were excellent, but I'm not a fan of X Factor type stuff, and I actually shut the back door whilst Journey South were playing. Couldn't bear the neighbours to think that I was playing it through choice. Runs away laughing. Your regular correspondent, Leonie, News at 10, West Suffolk. Look, you may not like X Factor, but both Caroline and I wanted Journey South to go through right to the final. I thought they were really good, and hopefully they've got a good career coming up towards them. What they need to do now is concentrate on some of the more serious style of music and try and get away from the music that's likely to make them popular, hence pop music. I hate pop music. An update on both of the kids. Amy is very much over the chicken pox now. She's got a few spots left over, but they're fading quite rapidly. Amy, we're on Poxwatch. Cara, we're on Poxwatch. I think she's just developed them. There's about 5 spots that I'm aware of, various places on her head and body. We're keeping an eye on her at the moment. It's entirely possible that she's going to get it full blown. It's also entirely possible that's all she's going to get, because she's got it nice and early in life. She may have only got these 5 or 10 spots, and that's it, they're going to go away. No chance. As for the other issue of Cara's bunged upness, we're kind of like funneling orange juice and apple juice and stuff into her at the moment, in the hope that it will push things through. Caroline did take her to the doctors on Tuesday, and the doctor gave us a bottle of laxatives to give to her car in small doses. So hopefully she'll be clearing up relatively soon. Yes, thanks Leonie for your email as always. We've got one more song coming up. This is the Career Club, and the track is called Hold a Candle.
from the barn was never any use to you. And the hand that you raised and you played against me is one. But the stains from my lips are engraved on your ivory throne. Well, you can't hold a candle to all the things that I kept for myself. Isn't really what you want it to be. I was so wrong with you, but so right without me. And the weapon that you want is the one that can set yourself free. Well, you can't hold a candle to all the things that I kept for myself. I can't believe that your heart is still burning.
I think when I started that track, it actually cut off the name that I was actually trying to say. That was Career Club and Hold a Candle. I made some changes, some technical tweaks to my setup today, in the hope that it'll flow a lot more smoothly. Things like, remember I said last week and the week before that I was getting fed up with the music getting muted slightly when I switched the microphone back on. Well, I've tweaked that. what else have I done? I've set something in the background so that the sound server has higher priority on the PC, which means there should be less music skips. I don't think you notice them that much, but I have done in the past. I don't know why also, but I've felt a lot more confident in this show. Normally I'm quite quiet and low-toned, but this week I decided to make the decision to try and do the show as if I was doing it normally, rather than trying to be quiet so not to disturb the kids. The kids can't hear me down here, I'm almost certain of it, and I'm not making that much noise, but speaking normally, it's kind of given me more of a confidence, and I think the show has flown. No, let's try that again. There is the flow of the show is better than it has been in the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I'm quite chuffed with this one. Okay, all of the music this evening has come from the Podsafe Music Network, which you can reach at music.podshow.com. If you want to get in contact with the show, then the phone number is 020 80 99 1550. You can email to bugcast@thelovebug.org, and you can also visit the website at bugcast.thelovebug.org. Just to let you know that the new show that I've been mentioning the last couple of weeks, I have got now a final launch date, and that's going to be the Monday the 26th of May. And the the website redesign will go up at the same time. I'm having to tweak the website to accommodate two, or really any number of shows, but for the moment two shows. So that'll all come out on that Sunday beforehand in preparation for it. So if you are interested in having a look then and picking up the show when it does come out on Monday, Monday the 26th that is, then have a look at the website on the 25th. I'll put it live sometime in the evening, so you'll have a chance to look at it before it gets needed. Right, next week, episode 12. I'm actually off work on Friday, which will be good. I'm looking after the kids because Caroline's working, and we've been putting on the in-laws a bit more than usual because Caroline is doing a lot more hours at work. So, because I'm at home, Amy's going to help me record episode 12, and she's going to do the introduction for it as well. So, watch out for that one. I think that's it. I've exhausted my notes. So, all that remains is for me to say thank you very much for joining me this week. Hope we regroup again next Friday. Take care.